Ah, they're coming dangerously close to the goal now. The defence must show what they've got. Exciting tackle. What a clean tackle. That was really close. Great performance here.
The defence of the football team just managed to prevent a goal and thus helped the team to victory. Points, money, maybe a championship title. We may not get a championship title or money, but it does feel like a victory when our immune system successfully fights off a pathogen. It does this every day, often without us realizing it, but sometimes we do notice it in the form of cold symptoms, swollen lymph nodes, thick tonsils, fever, or a red, swollen area. This is when our body's own defense system, our immune system, is working at full speed. And this is only the case with harmless pathogens. Some pathogens are not so harmless, and some people's defenses don't work so well either. Our body is constantly exposed to new challenges, environmental changes, and new pathogens. Our immune system can receive help against some of these in the form of vaccinations or other medicines. However, there is still no help against some pathogens. It's a game of chance. Professor Catherine De La Rosa wants to be able to improve individual defense mechanisms in people whose immune system cannot cope with the pathogen on its own. And she is copying tricks from nature.
I'm sitting here in the library of the Edge That I with Professor Catherine De La Rosa. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. It's a pleasure to be here.
We are talking about the immune system. So do you have a metaphor for our immune system?
Yeah, maybe. I think sports very often works quite well. And here in particular, football maybe. Because if you... In a football match, it's very important to have a good defense, to attack at some point, and you need people or players who orchestrate the entire game. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much what happens with the immune system. So also there you have different players, you have different cells, so it works.
Yeah, okay. So you have a team that has to communicate and work together. Yeah, okay. What actually happens in our body when it has to fight a pathogen, a bacterium, or a virus, for example?
I think it's extremely complex, and it's very difficult to answer shortly to that question. But in general, so like in a, as said for the football match, you have diverse sections and players in the immune system that take over different roles. Mm-hmm. And for instance, one of those roles can be that there are cells in our body that engulf and digest the pathogen that comes in. These are, for instance, macrophages, or you have players like T cells, which are really in the front line. They attack because if a virus, for instance, hides in a cell, you need a player that takes care for that. And then there is one more part of the immune system that we are particularly interested in, which is the B cell. The B cell is the cell in the body that produces antibodies. Yeah, and antibodies can bind to a pathogen, can mark it, and can also activate other aspects of immune defense. And this is part of what happens. But as said, it's extremely complex, and this is why there are so many researches needed in order to understand it.
Yes. So what exactly do you research as an immunologist?
In general, so immunology is to understand what are the underlying mechanisms behind the response to a pathogen. This is the sum, but then the devil is in the detail, right? So it is about finding out what are the single aspects that matter. What goes wrong, maybe? At what moment can't we cope with a certain pathogen? And this is what immunology is about.
And which defense mechanisms do we have? So what personal do we have in our immune system? You mentioned a few, but maybe you can talk a little bit more about it.
Yeah, maybe I can talk about the B cell because I like it so much.
Yes, we can of course talk about the B cell.
Yeah, so that's a player, for instance, that is very particular. And the reason why I'm so fascinated by this cell type is that it is extremely diverse. So we have numerous millions of different B cells in our body that are only slightly different. And what is different about them is that they have different antibodies. And it's important that we have that, what we call diversity or repertoire, in order to have an answer to all these pathogens that are out there that we can encounter. And this is somewhat similar. So T cells work similarly. They also have this diversity. But what is special about B cells is that during an immune response, they can even further diversify and start to fine-tune or to come up with an even better solution than what was initially the case. So it improves with the response. This is something that fascinates me.
In an online portrait of the Helmholtz Society, you were described as an engineer of our defense system. What does that actually mean?
This means that we are trying to build on solutions that are already present in our body or in nature, but we are trying to modify it in a way that it's getting better or more advanced, because to some extent, nature is limited with the tools it has available. To give you an example, something that we are investigating in the lab is a mechanism that B cells use to mix antibodies with other proteins. And when that very protein that they use to mix with the antibody is reactive for the pathogen, that's a very fortunate situation, because then the antibody becomes immediately reactive and can attack that very pathogen. But the problem here is, or the limitation of nature, is that not every protein that is bound by a pathogen is produced in a B cell, but it needs to be produced in a B cell to end up in the antibody.
Okay, yeah.
And this is where we try to help B cells to come up with better solutions. So we add a few components and hope that we will provide a better solution than nature is already providing.
Your research group is based at the Center of Individualized Infection Medicine. That's site of the HZI in Hannover. I think you can call it even personalized medicine.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it is about to find tailored solutions for an individual. And in that particular case, for infectious diseases of an individual.
How does this change the treatment of infections?
As I said, we need a tailored solution, because we cannot always try to solve problems by using one tool, right? So sometimes you need to understand better what an individual provides. For instance, what is the quality of an immune system? Not everybody has the same immune system. We know by experience, right, that some of our friends, they are easily sick, and others never experience or never got a disease, even when they are directly exposed to it. So it is also about the quality of the immune system. And I think here it's very important to understand what is a baseline and what can be expected from a vaccine or a certain treatment when this is given to an individual.
Vaccine research, you mentioned vaccines, is for some viruses very, very difficult. For example, the HIV. It has been going on for decades. But why is it sometimes so difficult?
Yeah, this is completely different to SARS, right? We had a very easy solution to that pathogen.
Yeah.
But yeah, for some viruses, it is extremely tricky. And there are a lot of reasons for that. But one, just to highlight one, is viruses like HIV are extremely potent to mutate, to change. And this is why the virus is always one step ahead and our immune system is running behind, which means that we have difficulties to find the right solution because the evolution is so fast.
How has the COVID-19 pandemic influenced the direction of your research?
Yeah, it influenced us in many aspects. First of all, our everyday lab work changed completely from the moment we had to face the pandemic, right? As for any other individual, we had issues, for instance, to enter the lab, to conduct our research. We just started. So I just started my position. So we were an extremely young team. But of course, we had the tools to study antibodies. And this is why I decided relatively quickly to address and try to contribute to the pandemic by generating knowledge. And we had some ideas here to how we could maybe improve vaccines in the future. So just to get it clear from the beginning, so there is an extremely good vaccine available for SARS-CoV-2. But just working on it, we had the idea that maybe we can change vaccines to be even better by preventing that a vaccine interacts with our body.
So there are the vaccines, and on the other side, there are, you mentioned it, people who get more sick or heavier sick, and there are people who don't get sick at all. So how does your research help to better understand why some people get more severe infections than others?
We try to understand the B cells, right? This is what I was I'm trying to explain. So sometimes B cell responses are not proper. They are not very effective. And we are trying to get it right. So to understand where are the gaps in our immune system, because if you understand where you have some gaps, you can try to fill them and find strategies to, for instance, create better B cells and supplement them, but also to address how does a vaccine need to look like in order to stimulate cells to fill that very gap.
Which new technologies or methods do you find exciting for the future on infection research?
Yeah, they are now very general tools that are extremely exciting, that are on the rise or that were just developed. One very prominent example is AlphaFold. This is a tool with which we now can predict protein structures. And of course, this is a very, this was an extremely important development because we can now just from a sequence of a protein predict how does a protein look like. And when it comes to vaccine design and to many other things as well, but now as we are talking about vaccine design, it is extremely important to understand how would a protein look like when you have a given sequence, right? And if you now make a guess, how could it look like in the future and how could it impact our thinking and the tools that we have available, then if you combine it, for instance, with other developments, for instance, quantum computing, these quantum computers, they can tackle multiple solutions at a time, right? And it's another dimension of computing. And this would be essential for a problem like a vaccine design, because you need to handle many different potential designs in parallel. So maybe by handling many designs in parallel, you can come up with a completely novel solution that would have never been possible to handle in the lab, because we have to perform one experiment after the other, right? So there, I think there's a lot of excitement and definitely something to come. And I'm curious.
Yeah, I hear it in your voice and I can see it. So is this how you see the future of personalized immunotherapy, or are these the breakthroughs you're expecting?
Yeah, this will of course also help personalized medicine. But there, I think there's another aspect that is very important, which would be the discovery of new biomarkers. So biomarkers are markers that help us to classify patients. And with novel biomarkers, you may have the possibility to specify better what you expect from an individual with regard to a vaccine, for instance, or from an from a therapy. So this could be a game changer.
Okay.
So certain biomarkers.
Yeah, I'm excited. So I heard the word or the words green lab. What does it mean?
It means that labs are trying to be more aware or more careful with resources. Climate change is an important topic. If we think the level of resources that we use or consume to do research, it's insane. It's really an it is an incredible amount of energy that we consume. If you think, for instance, about the samples that we need to cool down to minus 80 or even more in liquid nitrogen to store them, there's a lot of energy needed. And plastic, another topic. So when we are conducting our assays, usually we are running it just once on a single plastic plate, which means that after that, it goes into the trash bin. We are trying to minimize that now. And this is where Green Lab sticker comes into place. Yeah, but it is just, we are on the way to become better and we are trying to save what we can save. And we discuss it regularly in the lab. And there are even now these certificates that you can get and we are heading for them. And I think this is something that research should do in general.
Yeah, a big challenge, but I think it's important regarding climate change and the health of our planet and so of our health. What interests me is, how did you get into your field of research and what fascinates you most? The B cells.
Yeah, initially I was planning to study something completely different. So it was biotechnology and... but then, life happened, and I heard a lecture of immunology. And so there was a seminar series during my studies, and I just sit in and I was listening. It happened, so I fell in love with the immune system, and I decided to cancel my plans and follow that path and continue studying the immune system and particularly B cells.
Yeah, and it's your passion.
It's my passion, definitely.
I can see that. Do you perhaps have a few tips for our listeners or for me, for everyone, as a take-home message that we can do to keep ourselves healthy and our immune system or our defense, our body defense strong?
One thing is to keep the body defense strong. But something that is equally important is to protect ourselves from pathogens. So use condoms is definitely something that I would like to, not advise, but that I stand for as well. Yeah. Because we are facing increasing numbers. The awareness, especially in the younger generation, is not that high anymore. And I think the best you can do is protect yourself. HIV or sexually transmitted diseases is one part, but also when it comes to malaria, you can try not to be bitten and cover yourself with a net, right? Yeah. Mosquito net.
Very simple advice, but I think very useful and very true. Thank you for your time and for all the information.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
That was our first season. Look forward to the next one, in which we will once again talk to many exciting researchers about our coexistence with pathogens.